All scripture is prophetic, but every once in a while, we hear something prophetic that really is timely. And I think we find something like that in our first reading today from the book of the prophet Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah deals with the return of the Jewish people after the Babylonian exile. God had sent his people into exile because they were unfaithful to the law that he had given. They had become worldly and forsaken right worship of him. So he allowed them to be taken into Babylon. And in Babylon, the Israelites lost their spiritual identity. They lost their tradition with worship in the temple and sacrifice. And more importantly, they lost the studying and living out of the Torah, of the law of God. What happened was when the Israelites went into Babylon, they assimilated themselves to the pagan culture around them. Thus, they continued to erode their spiritual identity as God's holy people. Now, the point of the reading that we hear is where the king of Babylon, Xerxes, sends the Hebrew people back to Israel. They go back to the holy city of Jerusalem, but they find their city in ruins. The once glorious temple where the living and true God is worshipped is in total disrepair. The walls of the city have been breached and broken down. And the book of Nehemiah deals with those two things: God's instruction to rebuild the temple, and yes, to build a wall for his people. Sorry, it's biblical. Ezra the priest, he goes before the people and he reads the Torah. Now imagine, you've never heard your own scriptures in your lifetime. If you're elderly, you were a child, perhaps, if you heard parts of it. And the priest gets up and for 4 hours reads the law to you. We got it pretty good. An hour and 10 minutes, you know, is pretty good. And how do the people respond as the law of God is read? They weep. Why do you think they weep? Well, the church fathers are unanimous, because as God's law is read and his holy commandments are re-given to them, they are repenting for their unfaithfulness to the covenant. They are weeping for their sins because they know as a people they have been unfaithful to the Lord and his covenant. And so, filled with a heart of repentance and contrition, they weep. And the priest says, "Do not be sad this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength." Does this story sound familiar? I think as a Catholic Church, we have lost our spiritual identity. We have assimilated ourselves, haven't we, to the culture. 75% of Catholics do not go to Mass on a regular basis. 75% in this country. Unacceptable. We have assimilated ourselves to the secular culture because we are afraid to preach God's law and to live it. And the effects of such a decision is we see the continued moral decay of the society around us. We see society rebelling against the law of God, becoming more godless. That's what happens when you drive God out of society. Society becomes godless. And we rewrite right and wrong, good and evil. That's what happened after the fall in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. The effect of original sin was rather than listening to what God said is right and wrong, I and I alone will determine what is good and what is evil. And this is the problem that each one of us, to some degree, some to greater, some to less, struggle with. And our healing comes in returning to what God says is right and wrong. At the end of Mass, I'm going to read a letter from the Archbishop. House Bill 1030, going before the legislation. Propaganda, forcing schools to have a secular sexual education curriculum. It's diabolical. We've got to resist as a church and as a people who follow the Lord our God. So I'm going to read his letter, and I'm going to invite as many families as can to join me at the State House on Wednesday at 1 p.m. This is important. There's so many things that are falling apart as we rewrite good and evil in our society. As abortion in the state of New York has reached a point where a child can be aborted at the moment of birth, just passing in the last few weeks. Where has our conscience gone as a nation, as a people, as we rebel against the law of God and we celebrate in our streets our sin? We need a time where the law once again is read, where as a people we weep for our sins and the sins of our nation. We need hearts of repentance, and the Holy Spirit can take our hearts of stone and he can break them and give us hearts of flesh. For nothing is impossible with God. So brothers and sisters, pray. Pray like we've never prayed before. Fast. Fast in reparation for the sins that are filling our society. And study God's law. We have to immerse ourselves, because only the law of the Lord can bring joy to our heart. Only following the commandments of God and what he defines as right and wrong can bring a flourishing to our society of love and peace. At this time, I'm very proud to be at a parish with a Catholic school, and very proud that we have a great Catholic school who is shaping the minds and the hearts of a next generation of Catholic disciples in the truths of our faith. There's something great happening here at Our Lady of Loretto and in our school. So I want to invite Selma to come up to give her testimony of what a Catholic education has meant to her. And I ask you to listen to her testimony with great attention. Come on up.
Good morning. My name is Salam Zarabrook. I'm in the eighth grade. I will be sharing with you my top three reasons for why Catholic school means so much to me. My first reason would have to be the teachers. Everyone has that one teacher that has really made the difference for them. The teacher that spent the most time helping you grow as a person, that taught you valuable lessons, helped you through times that seemed hopeless, or even been so involved in your life, they became like a best friend to you. I have been blessed to meet two rather than one during my time here. These teachers are my math teacher, Mr. Spratt, and religion teacher, Mrs. Oakes. Mr. Spratt is the kind of teacher that you only meet once. I say this because of his dedication and his willingness to help others. Every day, our school librarian comes into his math room during my math class and asks him if he would like a few minutes for a break. I can't ever remember him saying yes. If you fail a math assignment, he will give up his lunch break and ask you to come into his classroom so that you can make sure that you have a solid understanding of the topic. He makes sure that each of his students are ready before they take an exam. He explains everything from start to finish. He knows where each and every one of his students are. He knows the answers to your questions even before you ask them. Mrs. Oakes is definitely someone I will never forget. Her humor, the way she teaches, or how she is so welcoming to my classmates and I are just a few of the traits that make her so special. She makes each religion class as enjoyable as possible. When she teaches, students just don't read straight out of a dry textbook and take a quiz on it. We really try to find the real meaning behind what we are studying that day. Through that, she finds some way to connect it to how it will impact us in the future. She has made my classmates and I leaders in our community. We are no longer bystanders that just watch the world go by, but people who can change the world. Every child needs at least one teacher in their lifetime who is crazy about his or her personal growth. So who are these teachers that inspire young people everywhere? They are the foundation of Catholic school. They are the teachers who dare to teach what no one else will because of the challenge, who care enough to go that extra mile for your child's personal success, the teachers who welcome their students with a smile on their face no matter what, the teachers who are creating more thinkers, leaders, examiners, critics, and creators, the teachers that have ignited a passion for learning in me and for millions of others that will change them forever without even knowing it. My second reason is what I'd like to call my second family. My classmates and I are the kind of people who have a hard time being serious. There always seems to be something going on. Someone is always making a joke to brighten up the darkest of days. I remember a teacher of mine saying that it was because we were all filled with Christ's spirit and we couldn't help but show it. I can't recall a time when we all didn't feel the same way about something. If one person was sad, the whole class was too. If one person was laughing till they were on the floor, the rest of the class would be crying with tears of joy. To me, that's the best feeling in the world. We share in each other's joy and pain. It makes the burden of sorrow easier for us to carry. It blows my mind to see how close we've each become over the years. What are the chances that 18 kids put in the same homeroom would end up being the best of friends? Because of Catholic school, each one of us laugh a little harder every day, cry a little less, and smile a whole lot more. Catholic school has become like a second family to me. It has taught me that family really has little to do with blood. Rather, it is the people that we let into our lives that will accept us for all that we are. In just a few months, my classmates and I will be going our separate ways. And though we will change over the years, we all started the same, and so we must finish the same as a family. My third reason is the memories that we make at Catholic school. You get this strange feeling right before you're about to leave some place that you grew up in. You'll miss the people that you met and the person that you've become. But most of all, you'll miss the fact that you'll never be able to do it again. My experience at Catholic school has been everything I could have ever hoped for and more. So I walk down these halls every day, trying to memorize everything. The gyms, the classroom, my locker, my friends' desks, and the memories of the years that all went by too quickly. One day, I'll walk out the doors of Our Lady of Loretto and not come back on Monday for homeroom. There will be no more thanking the Lord that it was finally 3:20. No more sleepy classes. No more pretending to run in PE. No more singing together around a friend who plays a nostalgic song on piano before each music class. No more laughing together with my friends at lunch so loudly that the other classes look at us, with eyes longing to join us. And all I can think is, I'm gonna miss this place. Thank you.